and it is 10 a.m. in the West Coast, and it is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it is 8 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is January 11, 2016, and this is Orly Benny Davis, and this is The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to say farewell to a wonderful singer that we gave back to God Almighty, David Bowie. And we are going to play some of his song, and we're going to talk about the effect that he had on people and on the world of the arts, the music, and the movies industry in general, how colorful it was. Then we're going to talk about some news, but let's start with some of David Bowie's best. And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. You know, David Bowie, he was such a great singer. English by birth, of course. He was a songwriter, a multi-instrumenter player, a record producer, an actor. He made so much things in his life, and his character was, I heard, so soft and so calm and kind. And he had a wonderful eye for art and style. His style was immense. It was a performer style, but it was exquisite because it was colorful. We love to look at those people that make our life, like the rainbow. Why not? He was special, and he knew it, and he acted like that, and he gave us all what he can. And in the last year of his life, he was working so hard to give us the last, record, the last record that called Black Star. Just got released today before his birthday on January 10th. And think about it. He was sick. He did everything in his power to give us to the world the last gift of his life. We cherish everything, and we are thankful for him. And may God put them with the best angels that, there are few in heaven. And we are sending one of the best from the movies music industry. So I'm trying to collect my thoughts now as we're going to play one of a kind interview that we had from his ex-wife. Let's listen to that. It's an old one.
People get up to some shit. They really, if they're not supervised. I was there to go to college in 1967 to take an HND in marketing and economics. And I was going to the hairdresser at Leonard's, and this big, tall man called Lou Reisner got into this little tiny elevator. And by the time he got wherever he was going in the elevator, he was like really driving me crazy to go to dinner with him or something. And I thought he was an old fart, because he must have been at least, 28 or 29. Just an old fart. But he was very smart, and he was the head of Mercury in Europe. So my mother, of course, said to me, why don't you go out to dinner with this man? I don't understand. So I did. And the person who I met at dinner was a gentleman called Dr. Calvin Markley. And Dr. Calvin Markley was his A&R man. And I went out to dinner with him a few times while I was at college. And I thought, maybe I can figure out what it is they're doing. Talk about a two-year internship in promotion and marketing in the music business. He took me everywhere. I don't think there was anywhere that I did not. I mean, we went to radio stations, television stations, all of it. Finally, Calvin was having a problem closing this supposed deal that he had set up for a young artist called David Bowie. And Calvin said to me, okay, he said, look, let's see if you're really a promoter now. We've been invited to go to the Roundhouse and see a band called Feathers, which has David in it and his girlfriend and a guy called Tony Hutchinson. You close the deal with Lou Reisner. What did I care, right? Sure, why not? 17? Of course I will. So we went to see the show. And Hermione was wonderful. She was exciting. David was okay. But he was sort of, there was a threesome, and you know how trios are. He was kind of keeping the songs together and singing his part. But it was good. They were interesting. They weren't that exciting, you know, to look at yet. We went to dinner. We met the act afterwards, said they were great and everything, and we went to dinner, and I closed the deal. David broke up with Hermione. Now, I didn't know anything about this, right? I'm still going to college, and David broke up with Hermione. Now Calvin's got miserable David. Calvin got a brilliant idea. Angie, come to dinner with David. He's so upset. He broke up with Hermione. So I said, okay, sure. So I thought he was very nice. And I was enthusiastic about, you know, the evening. And he came and took me out. And then he called me and said he was very, very sick. And would I come down to Beckenham to see him? So I finally turn up there. And he looked terrible. He looked like he was about to die. But his room was exquisite. He'd had the strength to tidy it all. You know what I mean? So what he'd done is he'd set up his whole room like a listening room and got his TIAC recorder, and he played me the whole album. I listened to those songs, and then we just started talking and talking and talking. He told me all about the Tibetan lamasery and Dumfrieshire and da-da-da and this and that. Now, you know, bear in mind, I'm a lapsed Catholic at 15. I've been expelled for having an affair with a girl. I'm pretty sophisticated, you know what I mean? I knew exactly what was going on in the world, and this person explaining his life to me, I kept thinking, you just need a marketer, buddy. You need somebody to get this shit out there so they know what you're, you know, and that's basically all I was thinking. I was attracted to him, but I don't think it was really for any good reason. I was bad. Calvin had already had him. I thought, watch this, buddy. I'll slip right in there. And I did. And then I kind of thought, he's not impressed enough. You know? I expected people to be really impressed if I went to bed with him. He wasn't impressed. So then I threw some drama, and that didn't faze him a bit. So then I didn't know if I could work with Calvin to promote him. But then David decided that I was probably as brilliant as everyone said I was, because Calvin, of course, told him that I had persuaded Lou Reisner to actually allow the contract to be signed, written up by Mercury. And so I guess after that, he started thinking that I was probably more useful on his side than not interested. And that's how he lured me, and he pursued me by the call to come to Beckenham to see him, to talk about all his shit. It's just like when people meet with an advertising company. He was schmoozing me. I don't take no for an answer. David couldn't get people to agree with him or help him to change things. I did. I had heard Space Oddity, Wild Eyed Boy from Free Cloud, and two or three others. And I thought Space Oddity was a good song. Kind of a gimmick song, but I still thought it was a good song. I liked it. It had a good melody and everything. And he used all these, you know, stylophones and stuff like that. So for Calvin and I, as marketers, It would go. It would be BBC Top of the Pops. It was just anti-American enough to get those, you know, audio boys at the BBC to put it on the playlist. Tony Visconti refused to produce Space Oddity. He thought it was so totally and utterly without merit. Such a commercial. Oof. Just the fact that somebody just couldn't bring himself to... But I do have someone who can do it for you, Gus Dudgeon. Gus Dudgeon does that kind of stuff. I was excited. I thought it was nice. It was a nice song, and when I got back from Cyprus, we went to the studio, like, right after the airport, and Mark Boland put the lead guitar on it. It was very cool. When Mercury Records got The Man Who Stole the World album cover, the artwork of David in the beautiful Michael Fish dresses on the cover, in our living room, they said absolutely not. No, no, no.
Tactful cactus by your window.
Funny he wrote about cactus. Isn't that bizarre? I was listening to it the other day. What a bizarre little song that is. The thing about it is that the first show or the second show was just so boring. And it really was just as boring as it could be. And the songs were great. So after the show, I said, I think it would be totally cool, you know, it really would be cool if we tried to get a little more theatrical. I mean, you know David, you worked with Lindsay Camp, you danced with Hermione, you have a good theatrical, and I was making it sound like it was all my fault, so David could stay butch. This was dumb Angie. Dumb Angie wants the show to look nice. They've got to get all dressed up and have lights because dumb Angie is bored with a bunch of musicians. Right? Works. Good cop, bad cop. David was, you know, well, I don't know, Angie. There's an idea, though. You know, looking at the boys from Yorkshire and the boys are looking at me and I'm going, listen, guys, it'll be cool. It'll really be cool. You don't have to wear anything you don't want to. You don't have to dress up any way you don't want to. You have to choose how you want to look. If you don't make the choice, I'll make it for you. I said to Ronno, I said, how about, he always looked beautiful. You know, his shirts, his mom just kept him immaculate. His shirts were starched and perfect, and I knew that's how he liked to look. And I said, well, Ronno, how about a suit? You know, some kind of...
Well, I don't want to look ridiculous when everyone else is wearing costumes.
I said, well, how about a gold lamé suit?
Oh, I don't know about that, Angie. That's Elvis, isn't it?
I said, come with me to the shop. I've seen one. It's gold, but it's not lamé. It was like tiny, tiny, thin corduroy, but gold. I mean, shiny gold. Ronno loved it. Ooh, I look fabulous in this. Poor Ronno, his mother, she said to me about,
she said, well, I'm so glad you called and warned me about the photograph in Melody Maker. Because I called her and I said, oh, it was a big setup shot.
I didn't want her to worry, you know, I didn't want her to have a fit, you know, just because we were taking liberties with her handsome son making it, you know, look great on stage. And I didn't want her to think it was, you know, something she shouldn't be aware of, she couldn't be proud of. I said, nah, just say to them, look at that. He looked unbelievable. I mean, forget about Japan. You know, Japan thought that they really invented all that. Mm-mm. Trevor, he got to Japan. The Japanese were crazy about him. He's the only one that looked like them. No, the rest were blonde, you know what I mean? Trevor looked like he was Japanese. The fans went crazy. And he dug it.
The soldier with a broken arm fixed his stare to the wheels of a Cadillac.
5 Years was a song that I kind of requested that they write. I knew we needed something rousing, a big anthem at the end. The audience looked like they wanted to come, you know, and there was no way to do it. I thought if they could just sing chorus or something. So when they wrote 5 Years, I felt that they'd actually got a show now that was musically an entity. They played the Purcell Room. I don't know what happened. They got good. Suddenly, everyone was comfortable. They got their spotlight. There were only four of them on stage, so they had plenty of time. There was no time to be jealous or to be mad at each other or to think someone fouled up, because there were just four of them interacting, and it started to really work. So I threw both his bags down the hall, and I'm phoning a cab, because my stomach feels small. There's a taste in my mouth, but it don't end at all. Well, it could have been me. Yes, it could have been me. What did I say? What did I say? I thought it was really important to break down the differences in gender. If you could break down the differences in gender on stage so that everybody, the gay people in nightclubs, everybody would come out and dance and would love it. And we were lucky because the breadth of David's imagination and the scope of what the band played meant that we were able to grab enormous quantities of people to come and see the show. We were able to get our marketing base a lot expanded, if you get my drift.
No, and I don't think England was shocked. It was just everyone was shocked because no one was talking about it. So you would go to the Sombrero where, you know, it wasn't even a gay club, but it was, there were lots of gay people there. You go across the street to the Gates. There was plenty of all of this excitement going on, you know, in our cities where it was a little hipper, but no one talked about it. How could he have been so important when they didn't sell any records? Because Tony DeFreese talked RCA out of the tour support that helped keep them going long enough for the record sales to catch up. So it wasn't that they weren't good or anything like that, or that they couldn't sell records. It's because the audience had to catch up and grow up and understand what was going on. There was about a 2-year lag before they started selling. But to give RCA credit, and Tony DeFreese, he kept RCA interested in paying, and RCA kept paying, and they were very kind. I was the person who was able to get the Pennebaker film funded by turning around and going to the research department of RCA at Selectivision and asking them for the money, because we'd gone up there to play for the factory workers to be cool. And I thought of that too, because I'm not an idiot, I'm a marketer. So they owed us one, and they were so kind. They turned around and went, sure, we'll pay for the Pennebaker film. So when Tony DeFreese couldn't get another dime out of RCA, I was able to get the money for the Pennebaker film to be made.
Of all the shows on this tour, this particular show will remain with us the longest, because not only is it the last show of the tour, but it's the last show that we'll ever do. Thank you.
I mean, one minute we were doing the show and everything was going fine, you know, and the next he was retiring and the band was fired. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I was out of the office for like 10 minutes. What, you decided to throw everyone away?
The drugs were what caused him to be unbearable to work with. He wasn't god-awful when I met him. He really wasn't, he was charming. The drugs in America caused him to be first incommunicable. He couldn't speak, he couldn't put two words together. Throw him on a stage, he was fine. He could do the whole show and come off and he'd be a blithering idiot. But like Marianne Faithful, throw him on a stage and he was fine. But that's not enough. I'm sorry, I wasn't in awe of what he did on stage. I've seen better people on stage. What I was interested in was whether we were delivering quality material. I know it sounds camp, but I'm serious. I'm really that old-fashioned. I just wanted to know that it was a great show and the music was as great as it could be and you could hear it and they looked good. And it was exciting. Well, I accomplished that. I couldn't accomplish anymore. After that, he wouldn't talk to me. After that, I was persona non grata. All he wanted to do was to get rid of me.
I cauterized everything I felt about emotion so as not to be hurt by David's behavior. And it was hard.
I mean, one is so emotional at those early, you know, 20s years. But I did. I managed to do it, and I was fine for 3 or 4 years. I could handle his behavior, which was really unprofessional and very difficult to work around. But then I didn't care anymore. After the 4 years of cauterizing, it was gone. I didn't realize that when you did that, it actually killed it.
Wow. All right. This was a really a look back behind the scene, how you make an icon come to life. You need to have the style, you need to have the talent, but you need a mover and shaker to shake the boat. Because you guys, you could hear on his wife, this was his wife, Angela Bowie, she was his wife between 1970 to 1980. And if you remember correctly, when he met her, she was 17 years old. So she gave him everything, but she was so out and about, and she shook that boat and made it happen. She dressed him up. She figured how to market the program. For her, a bunch of guys on stage wasn't interesting enough, even if the quality of the music was good. She needed to give a show. It reminds me when Frank Sinatra was on. Frank Sinatra wanted to give the world a classics show. He wanted to bring America to that romantic stage, and he did. Elvis Presley, God bless his soul, and it was his birthday, you know, not long ago, and I think we have a song for him too. He was one of the performers that gave the show. You see, when we start now again to ignite the world, because that's what we need to do, a major ignite, you know, we need to ignite it in a major league. We need to think how we're doing it and what we are planning, because the visual, the context is good, but you need to deliver, and we need to pick up some speed. God, you heard that lady? She, of course, she was cursing. I apologize for that. But she was like New York. She moved and shook everything. And she went and got the money and because people did trust her. They knew she'll deliver. Now, can you be one that, you know, will deliver for them? People ask me, oh, my God, nobody wants to invest. Oh, yeah, of course. You sound like a dead man walking. What do you want them to invest in? You need to understand that the world needs some energetic movement here. And that's why Donald Trump is doing so well, because he's giving America that shake-up that they need. The only problem is Donald Trump is what America needs. We can understand what he's delivering. But just remember, he works with a bunch of the good and the blessed in the world. The ones that have no problem shaking up all day long, constantly, and they deliver and they live and their life shows. You know, people that have all what they need, it's not because, you know, they were born prince or king. Some of them do, but they are blessed, and some of them get even in trouble, like a princess today in Spain. That was, for some reason, it's bogus to me that she will have to go through charity to get what she's entitled to. So it's funny. Anyway, the idea is, are we ready to take this world by our storm? Are we ready to stop fighting and getting to work? Because the way I see it, everybody is in check. Okay, let's say it. You know, Russia is in check. America is in check. Yeah, we are in check because we cannot do anything if, you know, we can create a world war, and we don't want it. So Iran is in check, Pakistan is in check, Saudi is in check, Korea is in check, China is in check, everybody is in check. What do you guys want to do? All right, are we gonna settle now? Now let's do something very important before we keep on music. And I understand there is kids that are starving in Syria, and with the bombardment of Russian troops or the special forces, or whatever you call it, the world cannot deliver food. There are people starving, screaming for food. Now, the last bombing killed children. We know that. Nobody, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying, let's give a day to organize, because I don't know what you guys planning. But get the day to organize, and let's stop bombing, and let's start getting the food to the people. Because if not, you know, this is not going to be it. We can create an all mess for all of us. Yeah, because before God, we have to be worthy. And this is not a worthful fighting no more. When you neglect people in the street, it's not fighting right. Especially also when you neglect the refugees and fail to protect your own women in Germany. New Year's Eve. This is a day that will go in history like the most horrible night for many girls. Where were the men? What happened? Where was the armed forces? How can you let it happen? How can you let it happen? And you're talking about giving refugees access? You want them to go around free? Kumbaya, right? Kumbaya, my foot. Now we have to give those girls some incredible, tender, loving care, and see that they'll forget that old deal. But there are things that we can do that we must, and things that we don't. Get them in your home, your own home. You don't have to. You don't. You do not have to. Anybody who tells you you need to let them in, it's bullshit. Sorry. To give them food, help them shelter, yes. Get Assad off the rim. I'm sorry, Russia. This is time. You didn't do your job. You pick it up, and you're picking a fight with a big guy. For some reason, I don't know, there was a switch. You're talking about the broken promises. I don't know about that. I'm just saying. Your vision got changed. We have a good message from Chinese president. He is holding, he held a press conference when he called about sharing responsibility in the world. Absolutely. Now, what are you going to do about it? But we need to get Syrian agreement. And 1, 2, 3, guys. Would you stop taking your own good time? There is, this is not like science fiction. This is not like nuclear deals that you're doing that's worth nothing, because at the end of the day, nobody's listening. Because they behave this way because that's how they thought. They cheat you and you listen and you think that the paper that you sign is worth something, but it doesn't worth nothing. Because remember, if anybody wants to make a deal with you, we'll make with honorable shake of hand. It doesn't need more than that. Now, if you want to think that you have a collateral or whatever, you better just stop the money and everything. But now the price of oil is going down. Everybody's going to go broke if we don't shake this world and start making some businesses. The businesses is a new thing. We have to work differently. But we need to organize together. And the plan to create a marketplace for everybody was mentioned by me since 2003, and I'm mentioning it again. I know it's difficult to understand what I'm talking about, but that's why it's my idea, not yours. So anybody who wants, I'm here. No, it's not about wants. I'm looking completely for some great company who will take the time to invest and funds to invest in this idea. Of course, I live in this beautiful country of Israel that they're all geniuses and they all have an exit plan. And, of course, they have a wonderful technological idea. But I am one of them, and I got it. And I've been in marketing forever, so I understand. I understand when Angela Bowie was screaming and kicking him. I knew how this works from the beginning, too, since I was little. Or you got it or you don't. And now I'm telling you guys, let's go. Let's turn the page on history. Now, the important thing is, are we going to have a trickle-down economy? Or are we going to empower people and give them what they can to be powerful? Because by all means, if Donald Trump is planning on trickle-down economy, I'm serious. I'm not gonna second that at all. I don't know what Tom Cruise and Ted Cruz has in mind, and I don't know. I'm sure Rubio is not talking even Turkey. Sanders, on the other end, is very socialist, so we don't want distribution of wealth. It's not. We need an engine. That's why I told you Jeb Bush is the guy, because Jeb knows the economy. Jeb knows from, you know, what is a free market. But I have to tell you, first thing first, stop the bombing, give food to the children, bring a safe zone, push back all those refugees. They're not supposed to be anywhere else, but they have to go back. Get a free zone and start to organize. We need to plant some seeds for agriculture implementation, which we have a plan, and would work in Sudan. We're going to do it in Greece together. Greece will benefit, will buy it the land if it's possible. I'm making all the plan in my head. Of course, you can second me or not, but I need to think that there is a plan. I cannot wait any longer for somebody that will wake up and decide to take a charge. This is people you're talking. This is God's given soul in the universe, and you are sitting on your nothing and doing nothing. People are starving, screaming, and you guys are, we are communicating. There is no reason for them to rush in, not to stop bombing so we can give some food to those miserable kids. And that's all that. That was that. And I'm not going to go away. I'm going to tell you again. And if you really, really think that you're going to keep on going without anybody telling you, you know, before God, well, you got a mistake. Now, let's see if we have some more good song from our beloved David Bowie that we will miss. We will miss. All right, David Bowie, let's dance. Orly Benny Davis with Impossible Truth. There is some news about three trucks load of humanitarian load that arrived to the, the suburban of Damascus. And of course, the Prime Minister of France decided and calling upon the removal of Assad, because he thinks that the the president of Syria cannot hold responsibility in the future of his country, which I second. You know, it needs an exit plan and fast. Now, of course, there was an earthquake of 6.9 in Indonesia just now, so I'm sorry for them. God bless them. It's so devastating to see stuff like this, you know, that it happens and again and again. And I'm telling you, there is natural devastation and there is human devastation. And some of the terrorists decided that they're going to ruin the life of everybody around them. And sure enough, we know that they are only a bunch of freaks that have no future, and they worship death, and that's what they're going to be delivered to. The only problem is if we're going to stop holding our breath to see if they're going to jump us again. We need to understand that God is watching. God will be, you know, if we let him be. I want to address something very much important to believe. You see, for us as world that is in the midst of a major shakeup from all over, we can see some people from the Muslim world waking up and giving us some clues to what the Muslim plan is, like Brigitte Gabriel. I hope we have that music or that soundbite of her, that she stated what is the plan of the Arab Muslim caliphate. Those, you know, brain that a little off the social, but most of the Arabs, they come to play. Israel had an attack last week, and the family actually make sure that he got caught. They recognize him immediately, they declare upon him, they call upon him, they make the phone call, they stress, they got him to be back in the village, they got the power of the police to come, and the guy, of course, got killed because he ran away. But the idea is they're cooperating for the peace of the world. And that's going to be everywhere if we just start addressing in the right way. We're all together in this, and it doesn't matter. Now that the Saudi decided they are not going to use nuclear weapon, that's good. Not that they have any, but, you know, Pakistan has one. So we're talking about the idea of, you know, pondering the consequence. So once we decide that we are going, we have to start going to some kind of comprehensive understanding, include North Korea. It's a part of the deal too. Everybody is a part of the deal. The deal is we're getting along. Now, whoever doesn't want to get along, we start negotiating what's his problem. We need to have everybody, every leader of his regime, is everybody that is in conflict right now, need to write down and make a statement to what's his position. This is a new year. It will be welcomed by everybody. Everybody can listen. Once we understand what everybody wants, we can actually come together to some understanding, because the resources are some lump of for everybody. The ability is for everybody. We can join forces, and not what everybody wants. You know, people like the beach, and there are people like the mountain. There are people like to have a life, and people want to, you know, to shake it up. There are people who want to work. There are people who want to dance. You know, you know. It doesn't matter that you want something, it won't happen. You could have everything if you want, if you negotiate it through. And when Donald Trump say negotiate, I'm a Jewish girl, I negotiate. I know what I'm talking about, all right? So we can do it too. And with Arab, we've been there, our brothers, we can get along. So it's a new age. God gave it to us. It's time for us to be, okay? And you guys are smart. smart people. It's, you know, you can see and learn and do everything. We need to teach our children. We teach those children. We need to play a role in the future of the universe. You know, we still have to habitat Mars, for God's sake. Let's make some higher, together, a higher delivery. Let's get NASA to work, or a cooperation, International Space Shed, you know, something. Okay? Let's rock the world. We own it. God gave it to us. Let's make it beautiful. We had our share of fighting. Give some girls in charge, okay? Give me some keys to Wendell so I can help you out too, okay? We don't need to be all forced and beating. We can make good commerce and businesses without all of that. All right, guys. Let's get some music, and I'll be back with more of the news. We're running short on time, my goodness. All right.
My blue suede shoes. Money, two for the show. Three to get ready now. Go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoes. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Well, do anything that you want to do, but not, honey, lay off them shoes and don't you step on my blue suede shoes.
All right, that was Elvis Presley. God bless his soul for his birthday. We wanted to share his music because he was a king too, you know, remember? Now let's talk about a new thing that we have to ponder about, and I'll send you with that. Yesterday I was in a lecture of a private investigator. A private investigator that investigating stories for the parents about children that were molested. Now by the law, a private investigator cannot tell anybody else the result of the finding of the story. Now, if you find a teacher that molests kids and you let it have end up by the father, who at that time sold the house, moved to another city, and forgot the rest of the kids that the teacher was molesting. Now, what is the responsibility of the investigator? Is it normal that the investigator will snapshot, record everything, and he cannot go to the authority with that? Or women? I can't even fathom. He started telling the story about kids and kids until I told him, please stop. Cannot handle it. Tell me something good. And it's all about, you know, yuck stories. And I told him, you're wasting your life. We have to work hard in this world. Instead of using it to, you know, my throat is getting my best out of me today. I guess that I hope I'm not coming with a cold, but it's not going to stop me, God willing. Now, the idea is when we see something wrong before God and man, we need to say, it's like a criminal lawyer. He cannot cover for the sin of the criminal. That's my position. That's my opinion. Now, as a journalist, what they say? We cannot say nothing. It can go until the Supreme Court. You know, we have to cover our resources. We cannot say who say who. However, now El Chapo got caught after he met with Sean Penn. People say, did Sean Penn did something wrong? Well, if he investigate a report, a movie, he was acting like a journalist, and as such, he's supposed to be covered. Now, his actor has a journalism license. Do you have to have a license to be a journalist? How you protect yourself? That's a dilemma that we still, in this universe, in the democratic world, need to come to terms with. Because everything is good when we have justice, and justice is not flexible. Justice is right. We have the Ten Commandments to give us the guide. We have, of course, a lot of laws of Moses in the old book, which, you know, it's the foundation of every religion. So let's not start being picky about, you know, this is the Jewish faith is the original of faith. The Bible, it is. Then you have all the rest that come around. The Muslims have a different kind of thing. However, since we get along together, we're going to all agree that there is one God and it's not us, then we're going to have to learn to live and love him with all our brotherly men. And that's where we're going to come together in the city, holy city of Jerusalem, to be under one sky in holy holiness and a big, big, cheerful day. Those days when everything is going to be over and we can start kicking and have a life. But I'll be too old for that, because if I keep on worrying about what you all are doing, it's going to be really, really difficult. All right. I guess that we're running out of time again. And as usual, we're going to be here back on Monday. On Wednesday, this is Monday, and we're going to send you with my best wishes. Have a life. Make the best out of it. Remember to write down some memories for your family. Don't be close. Write it down. And after that, be well, and we'll talk on Wednesday. God bless you all. Ciao, ciao.